heavy equipment. So I guess where the greenies are concerned, that probably makes me public enemy number one. But I saw the demise of the logging industry in western Montana starting years ago with a huge log haul that we did to a mill that was failing in Darby. And we had over 200 truckloads of logs come in there in about a four or five hour period. And that really woke me up and got my attention. And I thought, you know, I better get some eggs out of this logging basket and get them into something else. And Patriot Activity is who I am. I started back in 1968 during the Wallace campaign over in North Dakota. And just a young guy, fresh out of high school, became a volunteer coordinator for the Birch Society. Helped to set up 23 new chapters, and we had a campaign over there called the Taxpayers Republican Ticket. And we ran in the primary. North Dakota has an open primary. And so what we did was we had 120 candidates. We had all the state legislative offices covered, all the state offices, and all the national offices from North Dakota. And we called it the Taxpayers Republican Ticket. The interesting thing about it is that every single one of those people was a member of the John Birch Society. And so we pamphleteered the New England Rally for God, Family, and Country. And to make a long story short, when it came time to approve the new North Dakota state constitution, it got turned down by about 2-1 vote. So those people understood what was going on back then. And even today, North Dakota is one of the few states in the nation that has a budget surplus and seems to be in pretty good shape. I moved to Montana in the winter of 1970 and went to work in the trailer industry. This was before I got into logging. And I've seen wages go down and everything, the price of everything that we need to buy go up. Now, where I am today is dependent on all of the experiences during that whole history. And I've watched patriots dig in their pockets real deep to finance educational efforts, to finance political campaigns, to do advertising of all sorts, to do things like what are happening today. And the conclusion that I came to is that if we're going to turn this thing around in this country, we're going to need some well-financed, patriotic people, people that believe in the Constitution, that believe in the rule of law, that understand our heritage, the rule of law and the law of the land, the supreme law, and especially understand how they took us down this road by changing the meaning of words and where the real problem is. And I believe that the founding fathers, a good share of them were some of the most wealthy people at the time, and they weren't doing something very light when they pledged their fortunes and their sacred honor to our new endeavor of freedom here that's lasted 230-some years. And so when I saw the logging industry go down the tube here in Eureka, we had two thriving mills, and in the last 3 years, both mills have closed up, cut up their mill, sold it at auction and shipped it out of the area. So we have no mills here. The woods industry is so small here now that the forests are accumulating a lot of dead and down material. And if we ever have a catastrophic fire year, a dry summer like we've had in the past, in 2000 we lost 40,000 acres. But if it happens again, we're going to have fire in every direction. And it's all needless. Trees grow out here in western Montana. It's pretty near ideal climate conditions, like weeds grow out on the prairie. We get over 2 feet of growth in terms of height on these trees every single season. And so I decided back in 1995 to put some of my efforts into the Internet. Now, understand that the Internet was just becoming a viable marketplace. In 95, there were only about 90 million people. Now there's over 1 billion people on the Internet worldwide, and it's the best marketing opportunity available today if you know what you're doing. And so I started learning everything I could, and the secret of successful marketing on the Internet is to have a product that everybody wants. You can have all the latest technology available, which we do. We have our own server. We have the capability of creating video and audio, and we have blogs, and we have social networks, and we're using it all. But if you don't have a product that people want, it doesn't do you a whole lot of good. And so the first thing I try to teach people, and where I'd be happy to answer your questions, is what do I market, and what fits in today's atmosphere where people are waking up. I mean, we have a lot of different movements going on in this country, and it's very encouraging. We've got the Tea Party movement. We've got Glenn Beck, who I incidentally heard a rumor today that he's quitting Fox News and he's going to go on the road to try to teach people what they won't let him say on Fox News. If that's true, that would be very encouraging. I've always kind of thought that Glenn Beck was sincere, but he was being held back. We've got the Continental Congress that just finished up Sunday in St. Charles, Illinois. We've got a number of other really influential things like Campaign for Liberty from Ron Paul. I'm a member of that. I'm also a Republican precinct committeeman. Now, I know I'm going to get some flack on this one, guys, but I'm not a national Republican. I'm a local precinct committeeman, and I sit on the state central committee of the Republican Party in Montana only because I can go to those events and wake people up that are inside the party that are otherwise listening to the old party hacks at the top and swallowing the indoctrination about not splitting the vote and so on. In fact, over here in Montana, last fall during the campaign, I was sitting in the Republican booth at the county fair, and some of the older Republicans that have been members of the Republican Party for 25, 30 years were trying to get me to put a McCain-Palin sticker on my car. And I said, don't you know how to read? Look at my cap. It says Ron Paul on it. And they were shocked when I said, I would rather see Barack Obama purportedly get the presidency than John McCain. And the reason for that is simply that if Barack Obama's in there, everybody's going to get wide awake real quick, and they're going to be watching him like a hawk. If McCain gets elected, they'll all go back to sleep and figure that the guy on the great white horse rode in and he's going to fix everything. And of course, And of course, in Montana, they were telling us, "Oh no, you can't split the vote in the primary because then Obama will get the nomination from Montana." Well, 10,000 people in Montana, or almost 10,000 people, voted for Ron Paul in the primary. We're one of the only two states that had him on the ballot by name. And it was too late for him to take his name off the ballot in Montana. And so about 9,900 and some odd people voted for Ron Paul, and yet John McCain still won the nomination here by about a 5% margin. And so at least I know that there are 10,000 people in the state of Montana that have backbone enough to vote their conscience, regardless of the circumstances. And so that's where I want to be. I want to be with people that understand this. And, of course, I'd like to see the Patriot movement have some kind of a George Soros, only a real American, somebody with George Soros's money that would finance a lot of this stuff. But there is another way to go at that. And that's to help people to use the internet to bring in new money into their area and to finance the right kind of thing with it. And I think we're kind of preaching to the choir here, because I advertise in your magazine, Earl, because it always gets results. The people
Good feedback.
Well, the people that see my ads in your magazine, hey, I don't have to educate them a whole lot. They're already looking for what I have, which is silver, different kinds of silver 1 ounce rounds. In fact, we've got some patented ones. It was my idea to come up with a silver 1 ounce round, a 999 fine silver, commemorating the 2009 New American Tea Parties. And we stuck about $100,000 into that. I have some partners in Denver and different places. And we made that a reality. We ordered initially 5,000 of those, and we put them on a website at teapartysilver.com. And the 5,000, the original 5,000, are almost gone now. I think we only have 200 rounds left, and we're waiting for the next batch from the Mint that's custom minting these for us. And it's been really encouraging because the Tea Party Express, which is the national tour organization that organized all these big events, including 9/12 in the mall in Washington, picked that Tea Party Express or that Tea Party Roundup and put it on their national website at teapartyexpress.org. And they, on the first tour, which I think was 16 different locations, ending up September 12th in Washington, they sold 93 orders of that at $30 a round, which is what they're doing. They're using them for a fundraiser. And I filled all those orders a week or two after that, and now I'm waiting. They've just finished another tour on the 12th, and I'm waiting to see what kind of orders, but they upped the price to $50 a round. And it's just a way for people to contribute to the Tea Party Express and get something of real value for it. It also helps educate people about using real money instead of phony paper. And if you want a little smattering of that, there's another website called silverpatriot.com where I lay out the Federal Reserve and everything that's gone on. And we also have a way for you to earn Silver Eagles through a little affiliate program, and you'll see that all over these sites too. But the main site that you want to remember, where you'll get the most information about the Patriot Movement and at least my views of what are going on around the country, is my blog at paulstramer.net. Now just go over there, and on the right-hand column you'll see under my picture there are a number of links to everything that we do on the Internet. Being a patriot is who I am, and it started a long time ago with me, and I'll admit that I'm a kind of a lazy patriot. I only pick battles that I think I can win.
Well, that's
and
being
over
smart.
The year, that's where, you know, because I have to save my resources just like everybody else, and then so, 4th of July, for example, of this year, we brought Richard Mack into western Montana for a four-day whirlwind tour. We started up here in Eureka, and we had about 400 people. Then we went to Three Forks for an Oath Keepers meeting and up to Polson for a speech and then down in Hamilton. Up here in Eureka, we had a very enthusiastic crowd, and Richard Mack does something that only one other person that I've ever been around does. And that's Stuart Rhodes, the founder of Oath Keepers. After the festivities there, before he leaves the platform, he invites the people to come right up close to the stage and take the oath to defend, support, and obey the U.S. Constitution. And for any of you that have never done that, let me tell you, that is a moving experience. In Hamilton, Montana, we had 600 people on their feet with their right hand in the air, swearing to before God to defend and obey and do that. And, you know, I had never been in the military, but thanks to Richard and Stuart, I've five different times now sworn that oath. And it has a very central place in my program here. And I challenge elected officials to show me where they've sworn that oath and then done their duty by, at least in Montana here, it's the law that when a sheriff is elected, for example, he has to swear the oath and then he has to sign a notarized copy of that oath and he has to file it with the county clerk and recorder. And what do you bet a bunch of them haven't done that? They may swear that oath at the end of their police officer's training, but it never gets filed like it's supposed to be. And so technically, those kind of guys are their office is null and void or empty, and they're not really, they're actually impersonating an officer.
That is really something. Well, I wanted to ask a couple of questions of you as we move along, but I want to remind everyone that we're speaking with Paul Stramer, and he's been a patriot for a long time, as I'm sure you're hearing here. And he has some very interesting things to share with us as we move along with this. I wanted to ask you, Paul, how did you get started on the Internet, and where can I learn and where can we all learn how to market stuff on the Internet quickly?
Well, that's real easy. I started way back in 95, and I had to do a lot of trial and error. And then I ran into your publisher, George Shepherd, and I wish I'd had his materials back then. If you'll go to tacticalprofit.us, it's a special website that I have that'll take you into Tactical Profit. Is a course where every aspect of internet marketing, including all the newest, latest technology, Web 2, blogging, social networking, and all of that are covered, and a whole lot more that are too lengthy to, you know, mention on the phone here on today's call, but tacticalprofit.us. Just go over there. That course has been very invaluable to me. He taught a lot of the things that I had to learn the hard way and spent thousands of dollars and hundreds of hours learning. And I am a full-time network marketer, an internet marketer, have my own server and have about 250 websites on that server. And so for me, it's easy to throw up a new domain name and use all the best features. I know all about search engine optimization and website design so that you get actually found on Google and some of the major search engines. But the Tactical Profit course is invaluable if you're starting from scratch. And even some of the network professionals or internet professionals that I've run across have gotten a lot out of Tactical Profit. So I use it whenever I get the chance. My problem here is time. I've set aside a couple hours today to do this call because I'm hoping everybody will pick up on some of these website addresses and just go there and check them out. But the Tactical Profits course, if I'd have had that back in 95, I'd probably be a millionaire now. My biggest challenge at the moment is to find enough time to go devote to new advertising, you know, and promoting my sites, because my time is largely taken up by answering calls and filling orders, processing credit cards. I'm kind of a one-man show here, and I've got a building out in the country, and it's nice and quiet, and things happen when I'm here all by myself, and so, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But, you know, that's kind of a nice problem to have when you're so busy doing orders and sending silver and radio gear out to people that you don't have time to push some more advertising.
Yeah, you do have the right kind of problem. You definitely do. Well, it's, you know, I know it's sometimes it's when you have a small business and it's pretty much just you and you're wearing all the different hats, it can be quite a stretch to rev it up to the point where then you get bring other people in. Of course, then you've got a flip side. You've got a company and you've got all the things that come with that, you know, payroll and what have you. So that's a whole different.
Yes, and I'd like to avoid that if possible. You know, many of the multimillionaire entrepreneurs that are out there selling average products, you know, or internet products like education and books and that kind of stuff, they're one-man shows. George Shepherd is a good example of that. The first issue of Republic Magazine never did get into hard print. He sent it out as a PDF file, and he had enough subscribers on that first issue to go and print a hard copy issue the second time, and now Earl, if I understand it right, you're printing something like 35,000 to 40,000 issues hard copy every month. Is that right?
Yeah, we are. And it has grown. It definitely has. And we do, you know, he has brought other people on. And, you know, there is a team now that works with this. But it's nothing like you would normally think with a publication like that. You'd expect them to have a building and a whole bunch of employees and the whole thing. And with the technology and the knowledge and the way that we do things, we're able to do it with just a kind of a skeleton crew of people.
You're absolutely right. In fact, my server doesn't even reside here in my office. I contract with the local telephone cooperative to maintain the server, and it's a dedicated server that sits in their block building with all the rest of their servers, and they back it up for me every night, and if things go to pot mechanically, they fix it and reload it and get everything going again. That's only happened once since we started. But having your own server is definitely an advantage, because when people come into one of these opportunities or they want to get involved, I can put them up a website in a matter of a half an hour and get it online, and within 24 hours it's all over the internet. So we do that routinely for people that join us in Silver Snowball, for example. And a lot of people don't want to do a business opportunity. They just want to buy precious metals right now. And so we set up teapartysilver.com for that. And, of course, my toll-free number is always out there. And if people have questions, they can always call me at 800-889-2839. I'll be happy to sit on the phone with them and answer their questions. People might ask, you know, at this point in time, well, gold is $1,186 an ounce, and silver is $1,880 right at the moment. So why would I want to buy silver instead of gold? So let's go into that just a little bit.
Sure.
Remember
that was something I had thought of. That's great that you brought that up because, you've already mentioned what we need to do to protect our finances during this currency devaluation. Obviously, it's precious metals. It's silver, gold, that type of thing. But now you're going to fine-tune it for us to understand why silver instead of gold. That's a good question.
Well, it's having the right product is 90% of the battle. Gold, let's go through a little bit of a history.
Okay.
Back in 1971, Richard Nixon ended the Bretton Woods Agreement, and he took us off the gold standard. Up until then, gold had been pegged to the U.S. dollar at $35 an ounce, and that was too restrictive. These tax-and-spend liberals couldn't spend enough money. And I'm talking about in both parties. And so they had to end that in order to have their wild runaway programs. And the history of that is that in 1971, they unpegged it, and by 1980, 9 years later, gold had gained 24 times its value. But silver in the same time period had gained 39 times its value. Now, there's several very good reasons for that, and I'll go into that in a minute. That means, let's say that you were a millionaire in 1971, and you saw Tricky Dick Nixon take us off Bretton Woods, and you thought, boy, I better hedge myself a little bit here. So I'm going to take $100,000, and I'm going to invest it in gold. Well, during the 70s, the stock market went sideways, the housing market went in the toilet. So if you were dabbling in either one of those, you probably lost some money. But just for the sake of discussion, let's say that you lost the whole other $900,000 that were part of your million-dollar portfolio. And all you had left in 1980 was your $100,000 worth of gold that you bought in 71. You were now worth $2.4 million. And if you'd have bought silver with that 100 grand, you were now worth $3.9 million.
Hmm.
I want to let that sink in for a little bit, folks, because it's happening again. In 1980, gold topped out at $850 an ounce. And silver was around the $50 an ounce mark. In 1980, you could take 1,000 silver dollars, and you could go buy a medium-sized 3-bed, 2-bath family home. That's what they were selling for. The housing market was in the toilet back then, just like it's going now. Don't believe the things they tell you about the recession being over. It's not true. It's a big lie. They have to string you along, and they have to keep you playing with their phony paper, so that you don't run their banks to go buy precious metals. That's the one thing they fear, and they especially fear it about silver. That's why the biggest banks have been buying short contracts on silver to drive the price down, because they know that silver is the poor man's gold. They know that silver is what most of us look at because we can't afford to buy gold. Okay? So they have to control the price of silver. Now, normally the ratio between silver and gold is 16 to 1, like it was in 1980. That's the normal ratio. Right now, silver to gold ratio is well over 50 to 1. Silver, with $1,186 gold, silver should be selling somewhere north of $60 an ounce right now to have the normal ratio. And it will happen. Let me tell you why. There are other aspects of silver that are much better than gold. First of all, when the economy is collapsing and the currency is devalued, who can make change for an ounce of gold? Not very many people. So it's not going to be nearly as spendable as silver. Okay. The other thing about silver is that it's an industrial precious metal. Electric and electronics can't afford to use gold, even though the properties are similar to silver, not quite as good as silver, for electrical conductivity. But in 1986, when the United States Mint started producing the Silver Eagle, which is the official bullion coin of the United States government, at the West Point Mint in West Point, New York. At that time, there were over 2,200,000,000 ounces of silver above ground and available to make coins and to make jewelry and to collect and so on. Now, today, there's less than 200 million ounces. The silver market is very small in the first place. But what I'm trying to convey is that every time they build a laptop or an iPod or a cell phone, they use up some silver. In the case of a laptop, it's about an ounce of silver, and it's almost irretrievable. And so the stockpiles have dwindled, and they're not finding a whole lot more of it. So silver now, compared to then, is a very rare precious metal, more so than gold. There's still over 2 billion ounces of gold out there, more so than palladium in some respects, although that could change very quickly because now I understand that they figured out a way to do cold fusion with the palladium. And so that's something you'll want to watch. But silver is poised to do the greatest gains in history for a precious metal. And don't take my word for it. I'm going to tell you the names of some of the most studied investment advisors out there. One you'll recognize right away is on CNN and Fox News a lot, and I've heard him with my own ears saying that silver is going to be $500 an ounce or more before this is over, and that's Peter Schiff. He's running for Congress. He's the chairman of Euro-Pacific Capital. He's been at this a long time, and he's predicted virtually every move in precious metals successfully over the last decade.
He's excellent. In fact, I've heard them over and over again just, I mean, literally laugh right in his face on the camera. They've done that for years, and they've stopped laughing now. They've said, you've been right over and over again, and now they just wrinkle their face and go, oh, my God, because they know.
Kind of a left-handed apology, you know, after all years of the ridicule. But he's not the only one. Robert Kiyosaki, who is the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you know, that whole series of books. He sold over 6 million of those in the last 20 years. He's saying silver is going to 500. His gold advisor, Mike Maloney, is saying the same thing. I've seen that all over the YouTube. If you read some of the older, the traditional investment advisors, Ted Butler, for example, is one of the world's foremost experts on silver and silver stocks. He's saying silver is going through the roof. Same way with Bob Chapman. You know, it just goes on and on and on. There's all kinds of corroborating information out there. Let me ask you just from a logic standpoint, Earl, with trillions and trillions of dollars being printed, what is there to stop the U.S. dollar from going into hyperinflation?
I don't see what there would be.
Well, let's look at history again. Every time that governments remove something of intrinsic value from backing their currency, I mean, traditionally it's been either precious metals or oil or land or something, okay? Every time, without fail, throughout history, the currency in question went into hyperinflation sometime after that. Now, in the case of the Federal Reserve and America, they've managed to stave it off for quite a few decades, which is phenomenal. And the only reason they did that was that they had pegged the U.S. dollar to be the world's oil reserve currency. Now those nations overseas are losing confidence. And make no mistake, the Federal Reserve note is a confidence currency. It's a con game. And when the American people finally lose confidence in it, the jig is up. When they go run the banks to buy silver, there's nothing the Federal Reserve can do. Their only answer at this point is to print more money, and their printing presses are running full bore 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the way it is. Okay? So let's go back to history. Let's go back to 1919. In the Weimar Republic in Germany, in 1919, if you had 50,000 marks in the bank, you could retire. And you could buy an ounce of gold with 110 German marks. Okay, by 1923, the third week in November of 1923, they were closing bank accounts that had 50,000 marks in them, and they wouldn't bother to send the owner of the bank account a refund because the postage stamp to get it to him cost 100,000 marks.
Hmm.
Honest to God, that's... Now, another thing, they say how if you could afford a bottle of wine with dinner, you could drink the bottle of wine, take it home, the empty bottle, bring the empty bottle back the next day, and the deposit on the bottle was worth more than the wine was the night before in terms of German marks. And gold was hundreds of trillions of marks per ounce. Look at Zimbabwe. I think they've printed a $3 trillion note now, or a $1 trillion note, I can't remember. But this is coming to America. Can't help it. They've detached the currency, and there's a tremendous disconnect. And the proof of that is back in 1913, if you had a $20 gold piece, 1 ounce of gold, you could walk in the finest clothing store in New York City, and for 1 ounce of gold, you could buy a brand new suit, a new tie, and a fine pair of shoes. Right now, today, you can take that same 1 ounce gold piece, go to the finest clothing store in New York, and buy a brand new suit, a new tie, and a fine pair of shoes. What's changed? Only the funny money. Only the fact that the Federal Reserve note is only worth about 3 cents compared to what it was back then. But gold and silver have retained their value, and they will retain their value. Now, let's get real about precious metal. Let's get right down to the nitty-gritty here. Can you eat that stuff? No. Okay, there will be a point back like in 1980 when you're going to want to get rid of your precious metal. When you can buy a medium-sized family home for 400 or 500 ounces of silver, you better grab it. Right now, I'm spending some silver. I'm teaching people in the local area here to accept silver ounces in payment of my normal bills. I can go into the National Auto Parts Association store here, NAPA store, and pay off my auto parts bill every month with silver. And he's happy because he says, well, I've already made my money when I sent you the bill. I mean, that's my profits built into that bill. Now if I can swap some of that green stuff for silver, that makes me double happy. I've bought a vehicle here. We had a used vehicle come up for sale, and it was on display. And I went and asked the guy about it and asked him if he'd accept 80 ounces of silver for it, and he grabbed it in a heartbeat. I've bought food. I've bought guns and ammo, and I go to a lot of gun shows to sell silver. A lot of guys will come in there with something they want to sell, and I'll ask them if they want to trade silver. And, you know, at first they kind of hem and haw. And then I say, well, if you can't get the cash that you want before you leave, come back and see me. And, you know, about 80% of the time they'll trade silver for a gun. People are learning to use real money again. And that's very encouraging, just like all these movements across the country. They're very encouraging to me. The biggest downfall in the Patriot movement, in my estimation, is that it's underfinanced. The people that have dug in their pockets so deep over the years are burned out and they're tapped out. And so the secret, in my estimation, and this is just something that is my opinion, just like everything else that I'm telling you, it's just my opinion. And to make it legal, I'd say, okay, I'm going to invoke all my rights without prejudice under the Constitution for the United States. You know, I do have legal disclaimers on my sites for that, and it's posted all over paulstramer.net on the blog, because I do a lot of writing on that blog about all this. And I guess what I'm saying is that in order for the word to get out and this thing to be successful, the movement has to be very popular, which means that it has to be well-financed. And my estimation, at least my opinion, is that looking at the money bombs that have gone on for Ron Paul and for other candidates and other causes, that the Internet is the way to do the financing and really bring the Patriot movement into the fore.
It really does need that. You're definitely right about that, because the heart, the commitment, the passion towards freedom it burns strong in people, and they really can work hard at it. But like you said, they're underfunded, and sometimes they even work so hard in the freedom movement that they neglect some of the income potential that they would get if they had that energy focused into their line of work.
You're absolutely correct. And in fact, the Patriots should be the most well-financed business entrepreneurs on the face of the country here. The Patriots need to have the kind of money that Barack Obama raised in his campaign. And as this movement gets more popular and even the Democrats realize that they're losing their liberties, I think you'll see it happen. Put it this way, freedom is from God, and it's built into the heart of every man. And when you start taking away his personal liberty and telling him where to sleep and where to eat and where to work and how much he's going to make and so on, that just rubs, it just goes against human nature, okay? God is the author of that nature. And so for that reason, I hold out every hope that even though people predict or say that the Bible predicts a demise in this country, I think you'll see a phoenix activity after that. And yes, it's going to be tough, but if you have the faith and you have the backbone, we can survive what's coming. And in fact, we can lessen it and we can slow it down to the point where it doesn't hit anywhere near as hard as it needs to. You know, people are waking up by the millions now, and I'm going to work just as hard as I can promoting these ideas in your magazine and all over the internet, and hopefully we'll wake up enough people that we can just throw the bums out in 2010. Even if we get to that point, it'll be a miracle, but we can throw the bums out and replace them with good folks.
And I think we're seeing that move afoot now. Like you said, the people are waking up faster than ever, and a lot of people are paying attention to what their elected officials are doing, and they're making a vow, a commitment to get those guys out that are not doing the Constitution any justice at all.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Let's figure out now where exactly does the problem lie. In America, we're supposed to have a constitutional republic, okay? As part of that constitution, the supreme law of the land, we're supposed to have a system with checks and balances. And, of course, the major media always says democracy, democracy, and there's a huge difference there, and we all know that. That's preaching to the choir if I try to explain that. But there is a fourth check in the system that very few people know about, and that's the grand jury. Okay? In the legislative here in Montana, we don't really have a problem. This last legislative session, we were able to persuade our legislators to pass the Firearms Freedom Act, and that started a national movement. Now, there's a number of states, I think Tennessee has passed it already, and there's a number of states that have introduced it, and it's even been improved, like in Utah. They wrote some more in the bill and fixed it better. It's going to start a national movement. It was on Glenn Beck, our guy here, Gary Marbot, the author of that bill, and the legislator, that Joel Bonnick, that introduced it, are both personal friends of mine. And they're enthusiastic about what's happening with that concept of challenging federal Commerce Clause activity that's unconstitutional. Okay, that's just the legislative branch, okay? We don't really have a problem with the executive branch, although our governor, Brian Switzer, who incidentally is the first cousin of Leroy Switzer, one of the Montana freemen that's been in prison for 14 years, but he was persuaded to sign that Firearms Freedom Act and the self-defense bill that we testified for and got passed through the legislature. So I think we can still work with these guys, especially as they see the handwriting on the wall. Our governor said no to the Real ID Act and so on. So, but where the real problem is, folks, is in the judiciary. Montana has probably the most liberal state Supreme Court of any state. And six different times we've passed constitutional initiatives to improve our situation here. An example would be one that the people passed by a wide margin that would have made it so that the legislature could not raise taxes without a vote of the people. The Supreme Court threw it out. When we got the new 72 Constitution in, it made it so that only a district court judge could call a grand jury. We've got another constitutional initiative being drafted, and it's in the Secretary of State's office getting the wording approved right now to change that so that we can have a standing grand jury to investigate corruption in government. And that's part of our constitutional structure, but it's been, there's articles on my blog, for example, at paulstramer.net, where you can read up on how the, by again changing the meaning of words and by fraud, and that's a very specific word, look it up on Google, what the meaning of the word fraud is, that we've lost the grand jury as a check and balance. If we got it back, we could get this problem straightened around in a heartbeat. So, you know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of research on the laws going on right now. But it gets us right back to how do you finance all of this and get the word out. This has to be a popular movement. It can't be a handful of patriots spending themselves broke and trying to straighten this out one prison sentence at a time. That isn't going to work. We need to get people into business on the internet, selling products that promote freedom, and get some money in their pockets so that they can do more. And I'm an example of that. I am full-time in internet marketing now. I'm selling products like precious metals and radio communications equipment that lend themselves to this patriot movement. And I make no bones about it. I don't pull any punches, but I teach people how to do it lawfully, okay? Let's take radio gear, for example. Back in 95, we tried to set up a statewide radio network for patriots. Leroy Schweitzer, one of the Montana Freemen, was going to finance that. In fact, he wrote a certified money order, and we deposited it in the bank, and the FBI stole it. And that's another story for another time. I won't go into that right now. But suffice it to say that in the time between 95 and now, that Patriot Radio Network has been taken care of. And it was taken care of by the amateur radio operators nationwide. There are so many 2-meter and 70-centimeter repeaters out there. These are FM, VHF, and UHF repeaters that all a person has to do now is get your technician class amateur license, which is very simple to get, and you get access to some of the best technology. Let me give you a few examples. I have a repeater right here locally that was put up by one of these amateur people that really knows what he's doing. He's an extra class amateur. I'm only a general. And I can pick up my handheld radio here at the house, dial in a 4-digit access code through what they call an IRLP node, which is a dedicated computer that hooks that repeater to the internet, and it uses voice over internet protocol to call any other IRLP repeater anywhere in the world through the internet. So, like, I've got a buddy down in Texas. I can pick up the handheld, dial his 4-digit access code to his repeater. The voice comes back and says, link connected. And then I just call his call sign, and if he's around and hears it over the repeater on his radio, he'll come back to me, and we talk like we're sitting in the same room. Now, that's phenomenal technology, and it's in the hands of private citizens. Those places are owned. Those networks are owned by private citizens, licensed amateurs. That license is very easy to get. It's a 35-question, multiple-choice test, and the test is free. The test, actually, it'll cost you about $4. The study materials are $25. Just go to hamtestonline.com, hamtestonline.com, and use a credit card and do your $24.95, I believe it is, for a 2-year subscription, and you're good to go. And then you get 26 questions right out of 35. And you're on the air. I got a UPS driver coming up to the door here. So we have
business
the network.
On, right?
Pardon me?
I said business rolls along, right?
Business rolls along. That's exactly right. So we're in good shape there.
Well, I wanted to remind everybody that we're speaking with Paul Stramer, and he's sharing some very interesting information with us. If you do have a question for Paul, and I encourage you to, you know, to create some interaction here, go, if you have access to us via the internet, then you'll see a little question box there on the same page. Type your question in and hit submit. We'll see it and bring it into the conversation. If you have called in on the conference bridge line, just hit star two, and we'll see that you'd like to talk with Paul, and we'll unmute your line briefly so you can do so. I wanted to say that I appreciate the type of commitment and activity that Paul exhibits, and also really respect that entrepreneurship that you are involved with, that you have built it up to where it's at today. It's kind of like you're not just saying what someone could do. You've done it yourself as a shining example of what others can do as well, and that really speaks volumes.
Well, those are pretty glowing words, Earl, for an old ex-Montana logger, you know, that just has nothing better to do than do this whole Patriot thing full-time. But it's true that if you treat Internet marketing like a business, it will flourish. If you just put your nose to the grindstone and just keep learning, and it's easier now by far than it was back in 95 when I started into it. I had to learn HTML. I had to learn all about hosting and, you know, different kinds of search engine optimization. We've got automated systems now that take care of all that for you. All you have to do is learn the automated systems. And so, like, for example, with this store that I have on the Internet for radio communications equipment, that store has been online since 1995 on the same domain name with the same 800 number. And the longer you keep something online in front of people, the better it gets found. Some of my competitors, in the meantime, have been forced to drop away and go back to the old methods of doing business. I've kept my overhead very low. I don't hire any help outside my family. And my daughter helps promote some of my sites, and I pay her by the hour to do that. And she lives in a different city. So that gives you a pretty good idea that we're doing things pretty similar to the way you guys are doing it. You guys live in different cities with Republic Magazine, and yet it all comes together every month just like it's supposed to.
Yeah, I know we couldn't have done it quite this way with the technology of the past, but with the way things are today, we can do it that way. You can be literally at different points throughout the world and make everything work as if you're in the same room working side by side.
Well, that's a good reason for us to be very jealous about guarding our Internet activities from people like he who would be president, Mr. Obama, the ineligible imposter. And so, you know, we need to be real vigilant about any encroachment on our Internet rights, the same way we're very vigilant about the Second Amendment, because it's one of our major tools. At this point, I would have to say it's the major tool. And so you'll see, if you go to fm2way.com, F like frequency, M like modulation, the number 2, W-A-Y.com, you'll see that radio store that's been there since 1995. And we routinely sell $100,000 worth of radio to Patriots and other business people around the United States and Canada, and we've shipped to lots of different countries off that one website every year. So what would it be like if you got into something where you'd have an increase in your gross proceeds of $100,000 a year, and that you could use that cash flow to do the kind of advertising that would wake up your fellow man, get him involved in Patriot activity? And so you can kind of see where I'm going there.
Yes. Well, you know, that really kind of sparked something for me, because I'm not sure how aware you are, Paul, of this, but a little bit ago, I think it was back in the summer, one of the things that George Shepherd launched is Magazine University. And you can find out more information about that at magazineuniversity.com. But what the basic concept is that people in their local area, be it their city, their county, or, you know, it could be a tri-city area or a bi-city area or whatever it may be, in some geographical locale, the people can have their own magazine and have complete support from George Shepherd and his publishing operation.
Well, basically, see, I haven't been paying attention to that, Earl, but I'm glad you mentioned it, because right here in Lincoln County, we've been discussing at our Lincoln County Watch meetings. I started a little organization back in October of 08, and we meet twice a month, and we discuss all these things and strategy and how to get the word out. And last meeting, we were discussing exactly that. We don't have a voice as far as a newspaper up here in Lincoln County. Well, you can bet your sweet bippy I'm going to magazineuniversity.com and study everything George put up there, because I've seen his stuff work very effectively before, and maybe we can use that as a vehicle to start a little paper.
That would be good. And, you know, the interesting thing about it is it's also an opportunity to complete to make some good money for your local Patriot activities through inviting local advertisers to support the publication and then getting it out in your area, because it would be the basic format of Republic Magazine, but then with information from your local area that's very relevant to right where you're at, and
right.
Then also advertisers locally in your area that can be a part of that. So it's an everybody wins situation where there's support coming and going every kind of way.
Well, so, Earl, that is absolutely brilliant of George to come up with that and to actually realize the need for it. And local issues make a difference. That's how we were able to get so much done with the local Lincoln County Republican Central Committee here, is because people started hurting in their pocketbook and they started attending some of these various events, and they realized that most of those county precinct level positions were up for grabs. And so we ended up with a majority. I think we elected 9 new Republican precinct committeemen here that were all Ron Paul supporters. And so effectively, we've taken control of the Lincoln County Republican Party, and we've educated the older, party members on the Central Committee, and we've actually accomplished quite a few good things, and they elected myself and a lady from town here that were both Ron Paul supporters to the State Central Committee. And at the state convention, we came up with a flyer about Richard Mack and his upcoming appearances, and we were able to garner the support of 3 other county chairmen west of the Continental Divide here and get those other speeches lined up, and boy, it really started something. Richard's been back to Montana twice since, and he's coming back on the 12th of December in Billings, which is the biggest city in Montana, and that's all over the internet now. And, of course, Richard has a story to tell about the Mack Prince decision, which is the decision that beat the Brady Bill, being a tremendous victory for states' rights. And if you folks have never read that decision, you're in for a real treat, because if the states want to realize their power, and especially if the county sheriffs realize their actual power, they can stop a lot of this federal encroachment by just saying no. And where you can read about that is go to SheriffMack.com. SheriffMack.com is Richard's site. I'm proud to say that I'm a good personal friend of Richard. I've traveled with him extensively. And he's got it right, and he quotes simply from the Supreme Court decision, Justice Anthony Scalia, quoting from John Adams and a lot of the different founders, and he lays it right out in there that if the county sheriff says no, that's the end of it. Now think about Joe Arpaio down in Maricopa County, Arizona. That's just a little ways from Safford, Arizona, where Richard Mack lives, and the two are friends. And Richard says, well, Joe's got a few things to learn yet, but he's headed in the right direction. And so Joe endorsed Richard's book. He's all over the back cover of Richard's new book called The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. And I write about this on my blog quite a bit. So if you go to paulstramer.net, you'll see a search box to the right. And just type in Richard Mack or, there's a number of things you can type in, and it'll go gather up all those articles about that subject and put them right in front of you. And so Richard goes all over the country doing this, and he's a very good speaker. And there are quite a few sheriffs now that are endorsing this plan. And he's mailed, when he was up here in July, they had only mailed his new book to the county sheriffs in 2 states, Minnesota and Montana. And now they've mailed that book to every county sheriff in almost 20 states. I think it's 19 states, if it's not 20 by now. And, there's over 3,000 county sheriffs in the United States. Well, if you've got 20 or 30 guys signing on, and then we send them to Oath Keepers, and Stuart Rhodes takes over, and those guys sign up, and they sign up to the 10 orders we will not obey. And so you need to go to oathkeepers.org. And take a look at that also. This thing is coming together like it's never come together before. The Patriot movement is gathering under an umbrella. We've learned some things from our enemies. Look what ACORN does. They have a major umbrella, and they gather hundreds of organizations together, and they get sharing in the same concepts. Well, we've learned how to do that now, and we're doing it on the Internet, and we're doing it on the boots on the ground. And I'm really enthusiastic about what's happening in America and how people are coming together, and they're not just spending money, throwing money at the problem anymore. They're working smart, not hard. It's really helping.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to remind everybody, we're speaking with Paul Stramer, and we do have one question here that I'll ask in just a second, but anyone else that does have a question or even a comment, go ahead, and if you're online, just type in that little box on the page that you found the link, and hit submit, and we'll see the question and be able to ask it. Or if you're on the phone line, then just go ahead and hit *2 on your keypad, and we'll unmute your line. Karen in Salem, it looks like it's AR, I guess that's Arkansas. I was going to say Oregon, but maybe it's a typo, I don't know. But
AR is Arkansas.
Okay. Please repeat your 800 number again, and maybe give all your contact information.
Okay. The 800 number is 800-889-2839. That's 800-889-2839. My schedule at that number is 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., and then I go do my banking and my post office run once a day, and I'm gone for a couple hours, so I'm back here by 4 o'clock usually. And this is in the mountain time zone. I'm in western Montana, just 4 miles from Canada and about 50 miles from Idaho.
Hmm. It's cold, isn't it?
Well, we've actually got a beautiful day up here today. The sun isn't shining, but it's lightly overcast, and the temperature is 42 degrees. And we've had a beautiful winter here so far. Or fall. There's no snow on the ground down in the valley here. Up on the mountains, of course, there's snow covered now. But hunting season's coming to an end this weekend. And it's rare not to have a little bit of snow by now, but all in all, we have a pretty mild climate out here. The main website that you need to go to for business is paulstramer.com. And the blog, which is probably the best place to go to get linked to everything that we do, is paulstramer.net. It's PaulStramer. PaulStramer or paulstramer.net.
Okay, and if somebody say they wanted to shoot you an email, what would they use?
Just go to that blog and click on the radio store there at fm2way.com, and then there's a utility there, a Contact Us button at the top. You click that Contact Us, and it'll send it right through to my email box.
Great. That's good. And one of the things I was going to ask you is, why radio equipment? Why? I know you touched on it, but why is radio equipment so doggone important?
Well, people rely more than ever on cell phones. Cell phone towers are hooked to the electrical grid. If the electrical grid goes down, they usually have some kind of battery backup, but it's limited. With these amateur stations, they have battery backup if they have company power, but most of them have solar panels to keep them going. We had one go up here about a year ago up on Warner Peak, 7,000 feet, and it's totally solar powered. There's a VHF at 2 meters and a 70 centimeter UHF repeater at that site, a big bank of batteries and a charge controller and 4 solar panels, and they just run on solar power all the time, winter and summer. So in order to shut that down, they either have to bomb it off the planet from the air, or they have to physically go up there and flip the switch on it. Nothing else is going to work.
Hmm.
Now, you'll notice that in any major disaster, like Hurricane Katrina, for example, the very first people that bring up communications are always the ham radio operators. I helped start the Amateur Radio Club here in Eureka, Montana, Tobacco Valley Amateur Radio Club. And we have a little trailer that has a collapsible 40-foot mast on it. And we have some wire antennas, and we've got a three-element horizontal multi-band antenna, and we can have that thing up and running inside of an hour, pull it to the site we're going to use, whether it's on top of a mountain or down here in the valley, and two, three guys can have that thing all set up and running on HF and all the repeaters in under an hour. And it gives a, it's all completely portable, and it's all battery-operated. And so you'll find that there's a lot of technology out there, cutting-edge technology, and it's in the hands of the amateurs. Now, if you want to find out who the amateurs are in your area, you need to go to QRZ. The amateurs say Z, like the Canadians, QRZ.com. And you'll see a search box on QRZ, and that's the International Amateur Directory. If you'll type your own zip code into that QRZ.com and hit search, you'll find that it'll list all the amateurs and their call signs and their name and address in your zip code. And that's a very handy, you can also look up an amateur by his call sign, and it'll tell you where he's at. And there's a number of different ways you can search on that site. Very handy. What you need to do is find out some local amateurs. Ask them if there's a ham club in your area. Go to fm2way.com and call me on my 800 number, and I'll get you up to speed on what equipment you're going to need and sell it to you. And then you can get involved in your local ham club and take the test and get your tech class license. There's nothing to it. The license is free. The test is about $4, and study materials are going to cost you $25 one time. And when you get that tech class license, you'll have 10-meter HF capabilities, and you'll have capabilities up in the VHF and UHF and microwave range clear up to where they cook food. And you'll be licensed to run, get this, 1,500 watts of power.
Wow.
And with that kind of power, you can talk around the world. So.
That's great. Well, it's a good tool, and it's going to be extremely important. Like you said, if things, if the normal things go down, which it, it's probably not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when.
You're exactly right. It's a matter of when, but that doesn't scare us anymore.
No, we have alternatives to just about everything if we'll just open our eyes and ears and learn, you know, because there's plenty of sources for that type of thing. I think... as far as, you know, you've shared with us a lot of real good information. I wanted to have you maybe in just a moment share anything that you may have thought that, you know, in throughout this webinar that you'd want to share and didn't get a chance to, or any final thoughts that you have. But I wanted to just make a couple of different announcements right now. One is, of course, we'll have a full schedule of webinars next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and we will have quite a lineup. I'll just give you an idea of one of the people that we have, somebody that I've wanted to have on for a long time. His name is John Rappaport, and he is going to cover the medical cartel as a powerful cult influencing world affairs and the future. So that's a mouthful. And I've heard him speak a number of times in the past, and I've read his information, and he's going to have a lot to say. Some of it's going to be pretty shocking. I know he's very up on the vaccines and the whole thing that's going on around that, as I know that that's a hot issue right now. And then we'll have two equally strong guests for our other segments. So with that, I also wanted to say that we will have this recording posted shortly after the webinar today, and we will, and I encourage you to go and check our menu of different webinars that we have recorded. In fact, you'll find Magazine University there. George a couple of times came on and spoke about that, and you'll find that quite interesting, as well as every type of patriot freedom topic that you can imagine. With that, Paul, I really want to thank you for sharing with us today and for everyone for being here and being a part of this. And if there's some final thoughts that you'd like to share with us, then certainly have at it.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Earl. I've always enjoyed working with you. My final thought is take heart, patriots across the country, because we've got a lot of things going on right now that are very encouraging. And if it weren't for your activity and the activities that are happening in the last 6 or 8 months, My estimation is that we'd already be slaves and in a total police state. So take heart. We're slowing this thing down. We are going to win this by the grace of God, because our enemies discount God's activity in this whole thing. They don't believe in divine providence, and that is their Achilles heel. Just when they think they've got it won, it'll go the other way, and we'll see some, maybe even some divine intervention that we can see with their eyes. In any case, take heart and use your conscience as your guide, and call me sometime and talk to me about all of this. I just enjoy visiting with you. And thanks again, Earl.
Okay, and if you want, Paul, just real quickly, maybe give out your 800 number and contact information again. Make sure people have it.
Okay, just dial me at 800-889-2839. And we're open from 8 to 2 and from 4 to 8 in the evening, 5 days a week. And then go to paulstramer.net, PaulStramer.net. And you'll have links from the right side of that page to everything that we do. Just look at the links under my picture there.
Great. Thanks so much, Paul, for who you are and what you do, and your inspiration to all of us. And let's all take heart with that and continue persisting with our efforts. We are making a difference, and we'll make an even bigger difference ahead. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Thanks, Earl, and God bless you all.
Okay. Bye-bye.
The moderator